Season 8, Episode 35 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, being recorded on Tuesday morning Eastern Time, with all Week 5 games complete, including the Raiders-Packers Monday night game. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters, celebrating 40 years. And on the 4th of each month, they feature throwback events with 83-cent wings and other great specials. Remember, they have $6 drinks all day, every day. That is Hooters. I thank them for their continued sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. My email for your personal fantasy questions is right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. Let me jump right in by getting some talking points from some winning lineups in my three leagues for Week 5. Robert Cabala Jr. is a longtime supporter of the Todd Wright Tour. He is a podcast league player for the first time. He was a little late to the draft, just a little, when we did it at Hooters, going back to, what was that, couple of days before the season opener between the Lions and the Chiefs. And Robert and I had a couple of chats, but because he was late, he wasn't as well versed on all the nuances of my 21st century standard scoring settings. We talked about it a couple of weeks later, as I was his guest at a Rays game. Very nice of Robert. And he said, yeah, I get it now. Like, going into the draft, I didn't realize, and I get it now. Clearly he does, because Robert was the highest scorer in the League of Champions with 117 plus points to help move him up the season-long board. Remember, all winners of the podcast leagues will get a $1,000 check courtesy of Bill Curry Ford. Unless Sean Sullivan wins his league, he plays every year as a common contestant, and then simply he saves the $1,000 and doesn't have to pay it out. I think we'd all chip in and do something nice for Sean. I don't know, perhaps a nice lunch for two at PDQ, something like that. Sean, yeah, we'll fork it over and make it worth your while. You know, something equivalent for what you do for the other winners. Yeah, we do something like that. So Robert Cabala Jr.'s Week 5 starting lineup that earned him all those points, other than Brandon Aubrey is the kicker, and I wanted to get off that too, and I just didn't. That was my bad. I did it in my other league. I got off Tucker. We're going to talk about him, and picked up Fairbairn just because he was so available, and Fairbairn went off. Should have done it in both leagues, but other than Aubrey, a lot of double digits going. Other than Debo at 8.5. Still playing hurt. Kirk Cousins, nearly 20 points. Jamar Chase has the big game with 192 and 3 touchdowns. Josh Jacobs, heavy usage on Monday night, 25 touches, 89 tandem yards, and a touchdown. And despite a lost fumble, Achan, 165, 12 touches, and a touchdown. Although going forward, going to miss, a couple of weeks? Could be more. You know, Mostert's usage declined. Yeah, a lot of, with all the good things going on in the Dolphins' 4-1 start, you're starting to see the rotation in the backfield and the volatility and being able to count on one running back in the Dolphins' backfield week to week. Tough thing to do. Let me find some talking points from the podcast league, where the winner of Week 5 was the sage Ira Kaufman of JoeBucksFan.com. He got a huge Thursday night from DJ Moore in the Bears' first victory of the season, and that pushes Ira to a weekly win. Let's see what else good he had going. But he was off to a phenomenal start with DJ Moore's 41 points on 230 yards receiving and 3 touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes, 17-plus points. Isaiah Pacheco, 12.4 points. DeAndre Swift didn't get in the end zone, but 108 yards. That gets you 10.8. Hockenson, we'll talk about him. Just 5 for 51, not in the end zone. Jalen Waddle, 5 for 35, but did score. Tyler Bask, just 2 points, kicking for Buffalo overseas. So good job by Ira. In the foundation, both unbeatens lose. That includes me. It just wasn't my week. I had points taken away on penalties. I had McCaffrey stripped as he was trying to bulldoze his way in at the two or the one in what became a lost fumble in one of the few things that went right for the Cowboys. Jordan Love was awful. Talk about him soon. No, responsible for no touchdowns. I threw him in this week as my quarterback. Devontae Smith did nothing, although I think I have him in the podcast league, so no excuse in the foundation, although I was without Amon Ra. I played Hockenson instead of Laporta. Shouldn't have done that. So that's all on me. Doc lost as well for the first time. So Doc and I are still leading the league at 4-1 in this head-to-head 10-team format, where six make the playoffs, top five on wins losses with points as the tiebreaker. Of the group of five that don't get in on wins, the top team in points of the group of five gets a wild card and gets in the playoffs. Right now, that would be, well, the way it would work out, man, it's close. It would be SD, who just got the win against me, and will admit he didn't put up enough points either. We sort of had a game that you would networks would probably cut away from. But he got the W. So who had a good win? Ben did. Ben had a great win with 120 points and change in a huge romp in week five. And he did it on the strength of Tua was okay, 308 yards, two touchdowns, but he threw a pick six. So that's minus four in our league. Two for the pick, two additional penalty points for it being returned for a touchdown. Ridley, nine touches for 136 yards. Gabe Davis, six touches, 100 yards, got in the end zone again. ETN, enormous, 184, and two touchdowns for ETN in London. David Montgomery just keeps getting it done. Got in the end zone and 129 yards of tandem offense. And Josh Reynolds, in the absence, that was just a plug and play for Ben. That was very smart. I did the same with Sam Laporta, but didn't start him. So good for Ben. 76 yards and a touchdown. Reynolds is a good player. He's more of a complimentary piece, but he's a good player. And when you need him to take on a bigger role here or there, he can do it. So Reynolds comes through, and it'd be a big week for Ben. And there's Fairbairn. So he made the Fairbairn move. How about that? And it worked. I know it worked because it got me points in the podcast league. Let's go to top players overall. We've mentioned some of these already, but I want to go to top players week five and just make sure we don't miss anyone who had a big week overall. We've mentioned DJ Moore, number one player of the week. Ja'Marr Chase, we haven't talked about him yet. 15 catches for 192 with no T. Higgins. Joe Mixon, I believe three times was tackled on the one or the two. 15 for 192, three touchdowns for Ja'Marr Chase in a game the Bengals needed to have. Chase owners needed to have. Burrow owners needed to have. ETN was RB1 overall. Three, Zach Moss. Some dumped him after the Taylor signing. So I don't imagine many started him last week, and the only thing worse was not starting him and cutting him, because he accounted for 195 yards of tandem offense and two touchdowns and was RB2 for the week. Justin Fields was QB1 for the week. Jared Goff was QB2 for the week. Guys who probably were not in many starting lineups. Breece Hall was RB3 for the week, predictably went off against the Bronco defense. There's your green light as you sort of we haven't gotten into this as much yet this year. Don't overdo it on matchups. Play your best players. But when you're going up against the Broncos, it's kind of a tiebreaker on playing a running back against the Broncos because running backs are doing very well against Denver. Breece Hall did more in one game against Denver than he did the previous month. And you can say, well, that's because he's healthier and what Robert Saleh said. No. It's the Broncos defense. 194 in tandem, 25 touches and a touchdown. Josh Allen had a solid game with 25-plus points. Jalen Hurts, 25-plus points. Got a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown. We had a George Kittle signing. This also hurt me in my first loss head-to-head in the podcast league because I had Ayuk and McCaffrey, and Kittle got three touchdowns. And originally, I had drafted Kittle in the podcast league as well. I had since given up on him, let him go, picked up Hockenson instead. And then Kittle catches three balls, all for touchdowns, 67 yards. I'm happy for Kittle. Obviously, it's good for the Niners. It was just shows it wasn't my week in the podcast league. And it's not like you're going to rush to the waiver wire to pick up Kittle. Three catches, all touchdowns, after pretty much nothing other than great blocking on being a great teammate the first month. Brock Purdy was next, four touchdowns, 252 yards. Tyreek Hill, a very quiet 8 for 181 and a touchdown against the Giants. And let's do one more. Desmond Ridder bubbled up. Nearly 24 points in my settings. He's available in 95% of leagues. I mean, I wouldn't pick him up. He threw most of his completions to tight ends. Pitts was the leading receiver for the Falcons, still didn't score. Janu caught a number of balls also. Split time, Algier touched the ball, I believe, more than Bijan Robinson, even though Robinson gets in the end zone. I still don't know what Arthur Smith is doing here. But Ridder had a rushing touchdown, so that's why he got up as high as he did. Let's go to, before we talk about a few injuries, I always highlight 10 things, 4, 5, 6, yep, 10 things for not-so-good reasons. At what point are you giving up on Najee Harris, right? First year, just the volume was immense. He was a must-have. Touches mean opportunities. He made the most of those opportunities. Last year, was he playing hurt all or most of the year? This year, it's worse. And you say, well, how can it be worse than last year? Here's why. He's touched the ball 68 times, and he hasn't scored. It's not easy to do. 68 touches, no scores the first 5 weeks. 15 touches for 40 in a slugfest win against the Ravens. By the way, Ravens-Steelers on Sunday is a perfect example of two things. A game Mike Tomlin wins that he shouldn't win. A game Lamar Jackson loses that he shouldn't lose. I know Lamar had seven drop balls. But Lamar was not responsible for a touchdown in a game that was just sitting there for the Ravens to win. Lamar loses games like that. Tomlin wins games like that. But Najee Harris last year was still scoring touchdowns. Even in the first five games, he had a rushing touchdown, had a receiving touchdown. This year, no. Mentioned Lamar, no touchdowns. I'll go ahead and jump to Jordan Love, no touchdowns. Tannehill, no touchdowns. You can't have a fantasy quarterback and get you no touchdowns. Common denominator, Love's team lost. Tannehill's team lost. Lamar's team lost. When your quarterback is responsible for zero touchdowns, you're going to lose most of the time. As we keep juggling and trying to figure out any sort of pattern with the Jaguars, we've now landed, the roulette wheel lands on Evan Engram 29 catches so far this year, 260 yards, no touchdowns. Is that enough to keep him in your fantasy lineup? Now, if you're in an outdated 20th century mandatory tight end starts league, I guess you have no choice but to keep rolling Ingram out there. But is 5 to 6 catches a game at 50 to 60 yards a game and not scoring, I don't see his involvement near the goal line. It's ETN. It's Ridley. It's Zay Jones. Zay Jones is kind of the Gabe Davis of the Jaguar offense, which is ironic because Zay came from Buffalo, where he had some interesting things to say last year about why it didn't work out in Buffalo, as if the organization just kind of didn't give a shit. When he like wanted somebody to talk to about his emotions or some other things. It was interesting. It didn't get a lot of attention. I don't know if it's Zay or the Bills, but I seem to be the only one who picked up on that, or one of the very few. I know I'm not the only one. I don't know if you can keep starting Ramondre Stevenson at this point. The Patriots are pretty damn close to rock bottom. I mean, let's put it this way, right? The Jets won last week. The Bears won last week. No one's worse than Carolina. But the Patriots seem to be right there. Ramondre touched the ball 8 times for 24 yards. They didn't even throw it to him, despite the inverse game flow. The question of Ramondre or Zeke right now is none. I'm not saying cut Ramondre, but I don't think you can start him. And I know it's tough to find starting running backs, but they go to Vegas this coming week. Vegas will have a short week, but played well against the Packers. Short week, though, and no travel. That helps. McDaniels versus Belichick. We could be approaching the mutual parting of the ways with Kraft and Belichick. I don't think Kraft dumps him during the season out of respect, but it's bad. James Cook, that's 2 bad weeks for Cook. He's had 3 bad weeks, week 1, 4, 5, 2 great weeks, week 2 and 3. 5 rushes minus 4 in London, 3 catches, 25 yards. Let me get to Justin Tucker real quick. Justin Tucker, I had mentioned how the Ravens were converting third downs by far, according to Warren Sharp numbers. Thank you, Warren. At the highest rate in the NFL going into week 5. You combine that with Harbaugh being aggressive on 4th down. And it has all added up to minimal field goal use for Justin Tucker. In the Pittsburgh game that the Ravens lost, the Ravens mismanaged the clock to cost Tucker a field goal attempt. He was only rolled out there once in a 17-10 game. The Ravens are underutilizing one of the best weapons in football. I picked up Tucker after Greg dropped him in the podcast league, and I see now why Greg dropped him. I may drop him this week, just because other kickers are being utilized more, like a Fairbairn, for example, who I plug and played instead of Tucker this past week. Miles Sanders, you went from playing in the Super Bowl to the Eagles saying, we're good. You go to Carolina and not only are the Panthers bad, Miles Sanders is now not RB1 in Carolina. The last couple weeks it's been Hubbard. And Sanders a couple weeks ago talked about the Carolina fans booing and he called them out. It does not look good Sanders had some positive buzz through the first couple of weeks, but I don't think there's anything to like here on Miles Sanders. There's not much to like on Carolina overall. Frank Reich now, last 8 games as a head coach, going back to the Colts last year. He hasn't won any of them. And his offense has scored 10 touchdowns. And you can look at the garbage time touchdowns in the game against the Lions. And they got the Dolphins this week in Miami. Love was terrible, worst game of his pro career. I didn't like the play calling from LaFleur either. Just, you know, let's try to hammer Dylan early. And then second half was different. Some of the picks weren't his fault. The last one, he's just trying to make a play. You still need a touchdown. It was just a bad game for Jordan Love. CeeDee Lamb in Dallas. Funny how we go from talking up the Cowboys to talking down the Cowboys, but most of you know I'm a Cowboys fan, and even in their big wins, I said there are things with the offense as they get close to the red zone that don't look right. The utilization of CeeDee Lamb. He caught 4 for 49 in a game flow game that was all, well, you got to throw to try to catch up with the Niners. Although Dak was making mistakes. On the season, CeeDee Lamb has 27 catches for 358 yards and 1 touchdown. It's just, it's not enough. I don't think this is on Lamb. I think this is on Prescott. And Prescott's hesitation to make throws on time. And it gets him in trouble. I believe Lamb said after the Cowboy loss, I'm not sure what the identity of our offense is. Now, here's the good part of that. For the last decade, ever since Jerry bought the team, it's been run, 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 set up, pass. Going back to Emmett and then through all these other running backs that they've had. Murray, Zeke, who am I missing? Felix Jones, Julius Jones, they've been good, and now Pollard. But now you have Lamb saying, yeah, I don't know what the identity of our offense is. Well, at least it isn't run first, but it's not good when you got a player like that saying those things. And then finally, Hockenson, and this will roll into the injuries. Hockenson, 5 touches for 51. A lot of complaints from those that watch the Vikings on a regular basis about Hockenson's play, that it doesn't merit the money he's making, that it's the reason they lost the week 3 game against the Chargers when the ball went off his hands at the goal line, resulted in a Charger interception, 3 drops in the Vikings game over the weekend. Hockenson, I guess, hasn't scored all year. So now we factor in the Jefferson injury. He's going to miss, probably a minimum couple of games, maybe a 4-game IR. This is significant. From a fantasy standpoint, yeah, it raises the value of Jordan Addison. We all knew he could play. Is Jordan Addison a wide receiver 1? No, not yet, but we know he can play. So yeah, Addison has more value going forward. Does KJ Osborne have more value going forward? I guess. I don't know if it's fantasy starter worthy. Hockenson should see as many or more balls, but will he see them in the red zone? Will he catch them? I own Hockenson in one of my leagues. I'm disappointed by him. I didn't spend a draft pick on him. He was just sitting there on waivers a few weeks ago. But I made the mistake of playing Hockenson instead of Laporta. This week, yes, I rostered 2 tight ends. I'm tempted to try to trade Hockenson now with someone thinking, yeah, he has more value. But if he does, how bad will I look if he's scoring the touchdowns Jefferson isn't? I guess it depends on what I can get for him. So for other Hockenson owners, there you go. Or for other people who see Hockenson and their value, might want to reach out to whoever owns Hockenson. Or, I mean, he's rostered in most leagues because of the mandatory, outdated mandatory tight end leagues. But yeah, this is going to be interesting going forward with Hockenson against the Bears this week. So I don't know what I'm going to do. If I get the right deal, I'll trade him, thinking I can sell high. And then, as Matthew Berry would say, you know he's going to go off. Achan likely out a couple of weeks. Wilson, might be time to pick up Wilson on the waiver wire. And Anthony Richardson, the way this kid plays, you know, we saw this in the first game. It's like, good God, he's going to get killed. And then he missed a game. And they came back, and now he's going to be out for a while. He'll learn. He'll learn he can't play like this in the NFL. I own Richardson in a league. I don't know that I can justify keeping him on the roster for the time he's going to miss. And because when he's come back, when he comes back, how long is he going to be out there again before he gets hurt again? You know, Minshew can play. And the Colts are, this isn't a team with playoff expectations. Minshew makes sense here for the Colts. Just, you know, we're building something for down the road. So let Minshew run the offense, hand the ball to Moss or to Taylor, get Pittman the ball as much as you can. When you're healthy on defense, you're credible. So I don't know if Richardson holds his roster value at this point based on the second injury, because you know a third one's coming whenever he comes back. When he plays, he's fun. And he's going to be a fantasy QB1 down the road as long as he doesn't have a career-ending injury. Send me any of your questions at write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. We'll talk to you later this week.